conversations with people at the leading edge. Certainly Dr. Lonnie Johnson is one of those people. Bill Russell, I'm Paula Gordon.
I want to say sometimes we use that in a metaphorical.
Oh, no, not this time.
And with no apologies. Sometimes leading edge to us is historians who tell us where we've been so we can cope with where we're going based on what we should have learned from that. In this particular case, no qualifiers.
Yeah.
This is leading edge. The work that you're talking about has the potential of changing
everything.
Life on Earth. All life on Earth. Or sustaining life on Earth.
Hopefully for the better.
Indeed.
That's my assumption. And I think most people, those who don't have direct economic interest or ego interest in other technologies, I think most people would agree that's the case.
And why is this? Because it would unplug us from oil?
Well, ideally, absolutely. That's the goal.
Well, what I wanted to talk about next is we've got this engine. Okay, we got a way to store the energy that the engine, and you could put people to work. And
absolutely.
Your commitment to putting people to work at home, often in neighborhoods that need work. Talk about that, because this isn't you're a mad scientist off inventing this and that. You're also a real human being who understands that there's more to life than being in your white lab coat or making money or solving puzzles. There's this important other additional third piece, isn't there?
Absolutely. This all ties back to what we were talking about earlier about developing nations lifting their populations out of poverty and trying to improve the quality of life around the world. And the last thing you want to do is end up bickering over dwindling resources. You need to have an energy source that's abundant enough that you can support all the growth that humanity is presently facing. Everybody starts to understand where we're going and what needs to happen. And even more profound, if you leave a population behind and they come through this process late, and we've seen the kind of turmoil, strife, fighting, the danger that occurs when a large group of people feel like they've been exploited or taken advantage of or just left out.
And many of them have in this world.
And they come back to haunt you. So you have to really address that and bring everybody along.
In addition to which, you don't have to do it just over there. You can do it right here.
The challenge we face, and we have gone through a period of time where it made a lot of sense for business leaders to outsource jobs to other parts of the world, China in particular. China is a juggernaut. It's coming along very aggressively in terms of its growth. It's consuming a lot of energy, and that's part of why you see prices going up. But more important than that, they've come up the food chain, if you will, in terms of technology and know-how. So the skills that are over there now are really at a level where they can challenge the U.S. So we have to figure out how to remain in a leadership position economically and create jobs for our own population. I mentioned the $2 billion that the government's put into battery technology to create battery manufacturing in the United States, and that was a wise choice. I do feel that more of that money should have gone into the kind of work that we're doing, because that's the next generation. Now, leadership in the U.S. is beginning to realize that that's what should have happened, because to spend that, even though it's a lot of money, is actually modest to the stakehold that China, particularly Japan and Korea, have in lithium-ion battery technologies. So you can't just come in and take those markets and take that know-how when those countries have years of experience and market outlets and control and dominance in those areas. So the best play for the United States is to go the next generation beyond and establish leadership in the next generation of technology. And also the intellectual property, which is what we focus on, of course, that will allow us to maintain a foothold and enable us to establish leadership while the other countries are starting to play catch up to us for a change.
It's, I think, important to say that these countries that you mention and others, it's not just their commitment to make more TV sets.
Mm-hmm.
They all view this as their economic future.
Absolutely.
This is a highly competitive...
This gets back when you think about the oil industry and what that means to the world. This is envisioned as the new way of transporting energy. So batteries are our future. You know, that's what's going to, they're going to power the economy.
If the United States, based on your or similar technology, is able to commercialize, let's say a lithium air battery, that's very good for the economy. That's good for labor markets. That's good for manufacturing. It has all sorts of potential impacts that are critical to the economic, everything else aside, to the economic well-being of this country.
That's absolutely correct.
And the same thing with respect to the JTAC, to the engine.
Yeah, because when you think about what I was saying about batteries, and the evolution is starting for batteries to start becoming more and more prevalent in the energy sector. In fact, using batteries to store energy from green energy generation sites, wind power stations, solar power stations, storing the energy when the sources are available. They're starting to evolve, and people are beginning to realize that a better technology is needed. If we can bring that new technology to fruition first, then we gain leadership. We're able to create jobs here in the United States for our population. I think that it's also true that this next generation technology will be manufactured worldwide, but we want to be the ones to control that.
Well, and one of the obvious challenges, I mean, moving from prototype to production
right,
is always a main challenge, and particularly given the last several decades in this country, I think anybody looking at this would have to say, that's great, wonderful technology, and we'll end up having it made in Vietnam or India or China
or Bangladesh
or Albania or Slovakia or someplace, not here. And I would
Which
think,
is a bad idea.
Well, from our standpoint, from the American standpoint, it certainly is not an appealing thing. You're aware of all this. How do you address that?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very easy to say great intentions, but when it comes down to 50 cents here, a dollar here,
which
am I going to do?
That's right. Well, you know, that's an interesting dilemma, but there is an answer. You know, we were talking earlier about how many people it would take to do a certain task. With technology, the number of people needed gets reduced. The productivity in the United States is at an all-time high, even though the number of jobs are low and a lot of people have lost jobs. It's because of technology. We can do things a lot more efficiently now. So as that happens, what we really need is for technology to enable other things that are not presently possible so that you can create, so that you produce a lot more things with the same number of people as opposed to producing the same number of things with fewer people. So if the world is available and you can supply a product economically using advanced technology, then you don't need to have a job in a cheap labor market. So that the technology itself, which has been the way we've eliminated jobs, could be the source of creating jobs and more prosperity.
You also have the advantage, I'm just thinking of the pure economics of this, if the money is not going to Saudi Arabia and
that's
Russia
right.
and,
right.
bless their hearts, Canada.
Places that have oil to sell.
Is here, not there, and can be applied.
I think that's a more fundamental problem. Because we've shipped so much of our wealth out of the country in order to bring energy in, we've been facing some challenging times. So solving that problem will have a very significant impact.
Did you finish your idea about, you were saying the technology itself could generate jobs because your technology is more advanced, And I just want to make sure you finish
that
thought.
Yeah, the technology itself, and this will create additional jobs because you can make more product for more people with the same number of people as opposed to making the same amount of product with less people. So if you do the same job and you don't need as many people to do the same job, then there's no growth and you've actually eliminated jobs. But if you can use the same number of people and produce more and have markets for more and sell more, then you're able to ship product out, bring wealth in, and all of a sudden you reverse the dynamic that we've been facing.
You care about that, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Putting people back to work or even to work.
I want to go to the... I want this to happen now.
Yeah.
For a whole host of reasons. You corrected me. You've got prototypes of the batteries, two different types of batteries. Mm-hmm. Which presumably, you know, gets you moving towards, you know, thinking about production, how to implement that. Where are you with the JTEC, with the heat engine?
And you can think about that while I take a quick break, and we'll all come back in just a moment. This is the Paula Gordon Show. We'll be right back. Join us.